Our scripture reading for today comes from the first chapter of the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, and today we're going to be looking at just a short passage, verses 3 through 7. But before I read this passage to you, I want to kind of give you a little background. The text comes from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people at the church at Corinth, a church that Paul actually started and then went on to start other churches, so he's writing back to this church that he started. And much of this letter is devoted to explaining his actions since he wrote the first letter to this church, the letter we know as 1 Corinthians. Now, it'd be nice to know what happened in between these two letters, but the problem is no one really knows for sure. But what we do know is from 1 Corinthians is that Paul made a promise to revisit the church, and apparently that visit took place, and it resulted in a great deal of conflict between Paul and a number of people within the congregation. It appears that Paul had come down pretty hard on some of the members of this church for the things he felt were out of line with the teachings of Christ. And it appears that members of the church also made some pretty strong attacks against Paul. So it's clear there was conflict. So Paul writes this letter to prepare the people for his third visit. And rather than just launching into some kind of counterattack, Paul begins his letter with the custom of giving thanks to God. And then he offers a prayer in which he lays out the main purpose of this letter, which is an interesting blend between confrontation and reconciliation. While Paul does not backtrack on his convictions, he praises God because God is the Father of compassion. And Paul clearly sees God as a God of both confrontation and reconciliation. To put it more simply, Paul is unwilling to back down from his convictions, which are rooted in the understanding of God. While at the same time, he desires reconciliation. And the key point that I want you to pick up today is Paul is telling us that God is at work in the midst of both, in the midst of conflict and tension, that there is an opportunity for them to grow in their faith and to grow as in their maturity as Christians. So let's take a look at this text. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through this, your word, and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, one of the guys that's a part of our biking group is a denominational leader, and he's responsible for a significant number of churches. And one of his major responsibilities is dealing with conflict and trouble in local congregations. Bill, you know about this, don't you? Yes, you do. And there's a lot of it. And on our trip, he shared with me just a few of the situations he's dealing with. And it reminded me once again of just how easy it is to mess up a local congregation. This past week was the 26th Global Leadership Summit, which we as a church have attended ever since 2009. But this year, our staff voted not to attend which I think was the right decision. It's the first year in the conference's 26-year history I have not attended. The decision was made because the summit's founder and leader, Bill Hybels, was accused of misconduct earlier this year and stepped down. His 25,000-member congregation, Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, is now, this past week, in what I would call a major meltdown mode. This past week, its two senior leaders, its executive pastor and teaching pastor, head teaching pastor, stepped down along with their entire board of elders. And I'll be talking about this in a few more weeks when I talk about what happens when leaders fail. But right now, I just want to let you know I am deeply, deeply saddened by these events. I have known and respected and learned a great deal from Bill since our first meeting in 1990. I actually stood at his kitchen sink and washed dishes at a leadership meeting that he hosted. And it really saddens me to see the impact of one person's, one individual's poor judgment and actions and the lack of accountability have such a devastating impact on the ministries of both this local congregation and the work of the Willow Creek Association, which we are a part of. Now, I want to go directly to the major point of this message. Usually, I try to keep you in suspense so you stay awake. But I'm going to just tell you what I want to tell you. And that is, no human organization is perfect. We are all flawed. But that God is in the midst of our imperfections. And God can and does use our messy situations to bring hope and healing. Our hope is not found in being perfect, but in God's grace, which continually redeems us. Now, I often have people tell me they don't go to church because of it's filled with hypocrites and it's very imperfect. And I kind of shake my head, yep. But then I will ask them, tell me one single institution that isn't flawed. Just one. And there are none. Because they're made up of humans like me and like you. Messed up churches, messed up organizations, messed up governments, messed up families are just a part of the messed up world that Jesus came to save and is in the process of saving. It was true in St. Paul's day. It's true today. And this message comes at a time when I am aware of several of our neighboring congregations that are going through some major challenges. And it's my prayer for them that God will use this time of conflict to bring clarity and help them to be more effective in the future, because God can use conflict much like a refiner's fire that purifies and strengthens. This message also comes at a time when I'm not aware of any major problems brewing here at DeWitt. And if you know of any, please hold off for at least a week before you tell me, because I'm feeling like we're in a pretty good place. And that's actually a good time to talk about this. Of course, our congregation's about half because it's summer, and I actually think that's a good thing because we don't get a lot of sunshine here, and people need to go out and enjoy time with their family and friends. But it really is a good time for us to talk about conflict and how God can use it when we're not in the middle of it. Well, in our scripture reading for today, the Apostle Paul was praying for the church in Corinth to be the kind of church that walks with God and walks with each other, even during times of disagreement and tension. He prayed that they would be the type of church that was devoted to the teachings of Christ, yet filled with compassion for each other. A church where God is at work in the midst of the chaos that's often a part of this world. Paul writes that God helps us in our troubles so we're able to help others who have all kinds of trouble using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. Life gets messy. Friendships get messy. Marriages get messy. Families get messy. I mean, even the first human family. Think about it. What did Cain do? He killed his brother with a rock. Now, there are times I've been tempted not to kill my brother with a rock, but I've been ticked off at my brother. And this week, on the bike trip, I got a little ticked off at him. That's just human. And churches from the very beginning have been messy and always will be messy because in this imperfect world, stuff happens. I think there's actually a bumper sticker. It says it in a little different way, but basically stuff happens. But God can use this stuff if we just hang in there and work through it and don't bail out. You know, I've seen it with some of my friends in their marriages, where they bail instead of working through things. So they divorce, and a few years later, they're facing the same exact challenges with a new partner. And I know there are times, especially when there's abuse involved, there's no other options. But too many times, it seems that people run to the exits instead of realizing that they can use conflict to get to the other side. Working through and resolving conflict is not fun. It's messy. It's painful. But it also brings a renewed vitality and strength when people are able to use conflict and resolve disagreements and build bridges instead of barriers. And I think that's what Paul is partly addressing in this letter. He's not ignoring the problems. He's addressing them. He's getting them out into the open. He's putting the cards on the table so that they can be resolved. And it's messy and it's painful and I'm sure it's draining, but in an imperfect world where things get messed up, we need to have faith that God can use the messy parts of our life to teach us and to strengthen us. It's true in our friendships. It's true in our families. It's true in the church. One of my favorite authors is Rabbi Harold Kushner. He's a rabbi out in Connecticut. How many of you have read any of his books? Great, great stuff. I think his most famous one is When Bad Things Happen to Good People. But one of the stories that Rabbi Kushner tells that I just absolutely love is he's in a premarital counseling session and they start talking about spiritual issues. And the groom-to-be speaks up and he says, Well, Rabbi, I have never been attracted to organized religion. And to that, Rabbi Kushner responds to this man, well, you'd fit in very well around here because we're not all that organized. We're messy. And my impression of Kushner's synagogue is that it's a messy place because people do life together there. And that means things aren't always neat and tidy. And anytime you have a group of people doing life together, it gets messy, and it's especially true in congregations where people are striving to follow God. But as hard as it is to see this, God is at work in the messiness of our life together. Messy churches will always have some theological debates because people are seeking after the truth. Messy churches will have a lot of different ideas because each person in the church comes from a unique perspective. All of us in this room are at a different place in our lives and in our relationship with Jesus. And you know what? We as a congregation are not in the business of building standard uniform widgets. We're in the business of transforming human lives, unique human lives, one at a time through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do model runs of one. And that gets complicated and messy. Messy churches will always have people who are going through challenges because it's the nature of life outside the perfection, outside of the garden where good and evil mix it up every day. Messy churches will always be stretched for resources because God has always challenged us to move ahead and to expand. As we're hearing about the Vision Center, you got 10,000 square feet, you want to add a few more because you want to help more people. There's always that tension. Messy churches open their doors wide to people who have doubts and questions. Messy churches don't have a dress code or require pedigree to attend. Messy churches have their share of conflict because people working things out between each other and with God. Now I have to admit, as a pastor, I don't find this easy. Never have. My own personality, I thrive on order. I love order. I love systems that work like a Swiss watch. I love game plans. And I love executing game plans. But the reality is, a lot of times, in the first quarter, the game plan goes out the window because it doesn't happen the way you think it should happen. I love setting and achieving goals. I love balanced budgets and things that are done decently and in order. But I've come to terms with the reality is that's not the way it works. It's messy. And I've come to see the beauty of messiness and the way God can use it in our lives and in our lives together. In a few minutes, we as a congregation are going to take part in the Lord's Supper. It's a time where we come to terms with our own brokenness and our own imperfections and our own messiness. We do not come to the table perfect, but flawed. Jesus invites us to the table not because we're perfect, but because we're not. Jesus invites us to the table and accepts us as we are, flawed and imperfect, and offers us reminders of his grace and his cleansing. I want to close this morning, this message this morning, with this from the Common Book of Prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under the table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Let's pray. Lord God, we acknowledge that life is messy, that life is seldom predictable and perfect. Help us to find your presence and grace in this mess. Help us to realize that you're at work not in the perfect, but the imperfect. As we come to the table this day, speak to us of your grace and of your love as we take the bread, as we take the cup, and as we acknowledge your sacrifice, which perfects us in your eyes. Help us to always live with the joy of your salvation, especially when things are messy. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.